What to do without you? You're my all-star. Howdy, partner, and welcome to the Explosion Network's number one esports news show right here on twitch.tv/Explosion Network. Yeehaw! Let me introduce the Dan Rootinest Tootinest host of your life, the one, the only, Kieran Marchand! Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you, people. It's been fun. I'm just making sure there's no music. Good. No music. Haven't done that in a while. Tonight could have been the night. But welcome to Early Late Nights, the Explosion Network's esports news show, hosted by me, Kieran Marchand, right here on twitch.tv/Explosion Network. I've been getting lost in Red Dead, so I brought in a cowboy to do the introduction today. Hopefully he... he's in my whiskey. Okay. Let's hope he doesn't get too drunk in like half an hour. I should be fine. But welcome to the show. Welcome to this Friday. I hope you had a good Friday. Hope it's not too, you know, windy anywhere, wherever you are. It's fucking windy around in Victoria at the moment, and it's hot. It is hot. Playing video games under the air conditioner kind of weather, I have appreciated it quite a bit. Welcome. If you haven't joined us before, this is the Esports News Show Early Late Nights. We come to you live every Tuesday and Friday at 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time, right here on the channel. If you can't make it live, that's completely fine. The audio and podcast version go up at 7 p.m. the following day, so the Wednesday and the Saturday, at youtube.com/explosionnetwork, explosionnetwork.com, or any good podcasting services. I'm a bit all over the place tonight, peeps. I'm a bit in the wind, in the wild of it all. And we're in for a busy weekend. We are in for a very busy weekend. If you watched Tuesday's episode, I noted that I wanted to get back into a lot of esports, get esports good again. Red Dead came along and kind of distracted me quite a bit from that. But I did jump back into Dota 2 and started learning Dota 2 again. Yesterday or the day before, I had my very first online game again, but after like maybe a year or whatever, of Dota 2, and that shit was the worst. Not because it was Dota 2, I actually enjoy the base game. I enjoy playing its bots. It was playing with players who clearly weren't new players, who were either on Smurf accounts or were just bad at the game or just trolls. You know, I had one of them at least on our team, who just like, I'm just going to throw the game. We still won because our team was stomping, but just tried his best to throw the game. Gave the other team items, gave him a divine rapier that's like a billion damage. He's like, here, Mr. Void, have a divine rapier. Sniper, what are you doing, man? He's like, this is the guide. This is the guide, is you're building this item and then you get divine. And it's like, so that was fun. I'm going to dive back in. I didn't get a chance to stream it, but I will. Every time I played and then was distracted by Red Dead, and I was like, man. Red Dead Redemption, not getting too distracted from esports and stuff. Very good game. Red Dead Redemption 2, very fun game. Even like the moments of just, I spent an hour last night playing poker in that game, and it was a very long time, and I did not expect to do that, and I should have come back and played Overwatch, but whatever. Speaking of Overwatch, the Overwatch World Cup is happening this weekend! This very weekend. Well, I say that. It starts Sunday for us here in Australia, 6:15 a.m. Sunday morning. First game of the day. I think it's Great Britain versus USA. It's going to be a whole bunch of games the first day, so the starting four matches will be played, and then it'll be on the following day, we'll have the semi-finals and the grand final. So, hey, what a pretty good day. Pretty good couple days. So, I have the day off Monday, thank God for that. I took that off preemptively, so I could have the long weekend. But, yeah, 6:15 a.m. is when the matches are scheduled to be kicking off, so get up a bit earlier, chill out, watch some of that. Have some good times with that. Overwatch is fun. I really enjoy watching Overwatch. And if you've never had a chance, the World Club. The World Club is a great place to start. Amen to that, sister. Also, speaking of Overwatch, again, I've used the same transition twice, people. The show is going off the rails. Used the same transition twice. And it's all ruined. It's all over. Overwatch has already begun its competitive season for season 13, so make sure you jump in and do your placement games. Get involved with it now. Don't leave it too late, because comp gets weird. Comp's already weird. I've been paired with, like, diamonds this morning, and I swear I was, like, 1 degree of separation away from being paired with, like, maybe a Masters player, but whatever, fuck that. So we had that, and also I'm doing some shilling. Make sure you grab, if you have Twitch Prime, make sure you grab the League of Legends loot crate that's free with Twitch Prime at the moment. But if you have Twitch Prime anyway and you don't really use it, or you don't really use Twitch but you have Twitch Prime, make sure you can use the free Twitch subscription for this channel. Make sure you use it. Give it to somebody. If it's not this channel, give it to some small timer. Give it to some player or member of the esports scene that really wants to be involved, or another one of our fellow, you know, neighborhood streamers. They're pretty good. Don't give it to anybody big. Ninja doesn't need to Twitch Prime sub. Or anybody else, for that matter. XQC, nah, doesn't need it. It's got too many subs. Doesn't need Twitch Prime. You don't need it. Let's be honest. Anyway, let's get right into the show. Tonight, I'm going to be discussing the League of Legends World Championship Finals, which are taking place tomorrow night. Or tonight, if you're listening to it on the Saturday, or it was on Saturday if you weren't. Also, I'm going to be discussing Boston Uprising. The Overwatch League's team has picked up an Australian member now, which is quite interesting, and what that means for other Australian players around the region. And then we'll be diving into the Super Smash Brothers Ultimate Direct that happened this morning, what the internet broke over, and why it's really not such a bad thing, and people just need to get over it. But let's jump right in. Let's get on with League of Legends. I'm having fun. I'm enjoying League. I've had a great time catching up. I had to catch up with League of Legends World Championships after the World Cup, after PAX finished for me. So catching up, watching the two semifinals between Fnatic versus Cloud9 and G2 Esports versus IG were really good watches. They were really entertaining and really fun to check out and watch and play around with. So we are ended up with the grand final being Fnatic versus IG, which is taking place tomorrow night. So Saturday the 3rd, if you're listening now. Saturday the 3rd, if you've just got the audio podcast, it started right now. It started at 7 p.m. If you've just picked it up the day later, 7 p.m, go watch World Championships. Come back and listen to this after, or listen to this while you're watching World Championships. Multitask like a boss. But we had, it's two fantastic teams that are both making a little bit of history, which is really fantastic to see. We had the first match of the night was Cloud9 versus C9. Cloud9 versus Fnatic, even. And it was fantastic to really watch. It was a beautiful game that was played out between the two teams. And it was really good to see them go up against each other for that spot in the grand final, to be the first Western team in the final since Season 1, since the original Fnatic team were in the playoffs, were in the finals. That's amazing. So what we've seen from these two teams grow as they've done it. C9 have really been the underdog throughout the championships for the world. Championships of the world? World championships? Whatever. C9, Cloud9 have been really the underdog for it, but they've been scrappy and they've played well and they've come up through the ranks to the semifinal. But Fnatic, for me, Fnatic was just too good. Fnatic did some really great things. They showed that they have faith in Cap, and they have faith in Bwipo, I believe that's how you say it, in Bwipo, because they picked characters that can be easily countered throughout all three games. They picked characters that could be countered by the enemy team, but just believed in the fact that the players could use the character to its full ability to win the game, and they really did it. And Bwipo and Cap really put on amazing displays for the entire grand final series and the entire matchup that I was really happy to see. I was really excited to be a part of that and to watch that. They showed during the third map that even though things weren't going amazingly, or that things weren't, you know, having the best possible solution, their team, their players could still come together and play some really tight League of Legends and play together in a format that often suggests that sometimes people believe that, you know, hero picks are instantly the be-all and end-all of the game. The moment you can just win outright in the draft. And that is true in some cases, but these top teams, their players are, you know, they're stars. They're the wild cards. They're the people that, you know, I'm just going to put this on the right person and they're going to play really well. And Fnatic showed that. I feel like going into the grand final, it is good that they've shown that come-from-behind mentality for the play. Even though they are, you know, down on gold, they are able to play through it and play with that and minimize is the amount of advantage the other team's able to get from it. But also from that, we managed to see that, you know, the star players, as I've already said, Beepo and Cap, are really going to be able to stand up. Cap in the mid lane, Beepo in the top lane, are really going to be able to stand up during the grand final and really play some fantastic League of Legends, which I am, yeah, once again, very excited to see. Fnatic are trying to, as I've said, they are the first European or Western team in the grand finals since the original season, since the original Fnatic roster. So they've got a legacy to live up to. The, you know, Korea or South Korea have dominated the format so much with League of Legends especially, that it's amazing. It's really good to see a Western team step up with Cap, with Weepo, with Rekkles even standing up in the jungle position. It's been really good to sit back and watch those changes and really feel like the way it's doing it is turning the tide of League of Legends as a whole, which I think is fantastic. But moving on to the second member, there, you know, for a grand final you need two teams. And that was IG. IG brought it to G2 Esports in what I would say would be a match that I didn't expect to go out like this, looking at both the teams on paper. I thought it was going to be a very close encounter. Once again, much like Fnatic 3-0'd Cloud9, I was just thinking about it. Cloud9, IG once again 3-0'd G2. God damn it, names. Team names, people. G2 did show some really good movement and play throughout the grand finals, and it wasn't like any of the games were just flat out just amazing stomps. There were games that IG was from behind once again, and much like I've already talked about with Fnatic, they were behind, but they were able to play through sheer mechanical skill, and they were able to use that, you know, that skill to overcome the gold advantage that the G2 had built up. So I thought we were going to be going to a game four with how game three started, but that pushed out pretty quickly and we had some fantastic stuff come of it. So we've seen that. I really love how IG play. And IG being a Chinese roster, it's the first Chinese roster since 2014 that have made the grand final. The Chinese rosters in Dota 2 are very big. So IG is a previous TI winner. They're a world championship winner in Dota 2. This is not the same team, same organization. So to see them stand up in League of Legends now and really put a good foot forward in the League of Legends environment or stratosphere is fantastic to watch and fantastic to see. My favorite part of watching this back or going into this was that you really got to play it out and you really got to see some of the strategies come back. IG managed to pick Jace on two occasions, so game one and game two, with Rookie and the Shy both playing the character, showing that it's flexi capability with Jace appearing in the top lane, and then going back to mid as well. And that led to a game three ban, but it really shows the ability to flex on different characters, the ability to change up what role that character is going to be playing for the team and being comfortable with that change is not something you see all the time. Jace is very heavily either, generally teams will play in one way. They won't play in both within the same, you know, same set of games. So to see that, and then to see that they were forced into banning the Jace game three is a really well played strategy by the team, by IG, because IG managed to come out of it and say, well, look, even if we pick it, you don't know who, like, even if we pick it, it could be to mid, it could be top, you don't always know that, and to have that flexibility was really, really good. So IG come together after quite handedly, you know, sending it and giving it to G2, and they step into this Fnatic roster, which, you know, leading into the grand finals, IG versus Fnatic. What could be a very busy game, so to speak, like a very fantastically well-matched game to see. Fnatic and IG both putting on a very good display in the semi-finals. I think it's going to be set down to, once again, the mid and top laners. Both mids and both top laners for both teams displayed their star quality in both semifinals. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see them go one-on-one and to see how that plays out in the full final set. I think this is going to be a full five games. I really hope it's a full five games, with probably Fnatic taking the first two, IG pulling it back. And then I'm gonna say, for my prediction, the only late night prediction for this one is going to be Fnatic. I really want a Western team to win and to pull through in this finals. It's great to see this Fnatic story live up to the legacy of that first Fnatic roster that led the way for them. And now to see them pull together and play in such a good style. For me, I think Fnatic will be the best of the best to really take that role. So make sure you check out the League of Legends World Championships. That'll be on at 7 p.m. tomorrow, Saturday, the 3rd of November. Check it out, watch it. I'll be checking it out throughout the night and making sure I'm keeping up with its events. Now we're moving right along to Overwatch. Overwatch League is right around the corner, starting February 19th, 2019. But right now we're in an interesting period. This is the free agency period that started October 8th. That's going all the way through to December 1st. That Overwatch League teams can use to pick up new members for their rosters. And what we saw from Boston Uprising, which was quite surprising. So we've seen two new pickups, but Axiom on one. But the first pickup that I'm super excited for and super enthused about is Color Hex. Color Hex is a former DPS player from the Sydney Drop Bears that recently in August moved over to the Toronto Esports team and was set to play contenders over there in America. Toronto Esports has a very close relationship with Boston Uprising, and to see this happen now, Boston Uprising has gone ahead and signed Color Hex to their label, to their team. He's going to be playing in the Overwatch League Season 2, and that's really exciting, and it's really interesting time for Uprising, because Color Hex was this amazing DPS. If you go back and watch the Overwatch Contenders League for Australia, his, especially the finals, his Pharah single-handedly won games. Like, that was so good and so well put together. And to see him now step up into the big leagues, into the Overwatch League, is going to be fantastic to see. And I was happy just to see him in American Overwatch Contenders. Now he's in League, that's even more. And looking at the Boston Uprising team, they have, you know, they have moved into an interesting position. They had that nasty business happen with Dreamcasper, which lost their kind of flexible DPS player. And then they played through the rest of the season with Mistakes. And Mistakes, you know, Mistakes, best name in the whole league. Stanislav, best name. Hope he gets picked up by another team, because Mistakes, best name. Good name, Mistakes. But what we saw is them lose out, and they were missing something. They were missing that pizzazz. And I think Color Hex is going to step into that role, and he's going to play that legendary Pharah. He's going to flex really well across the board. Color Hex displayed the range of characters that he could play in Overwatch Contenders, and to see that as a utilized tool in Boston Uprising's kit is going to be really good. They have Boston Uprising have a really strong tank core with Gamsu and Note. They are stupidly strong. Now to see the DPS step up, Striker's already there. Striker's kit lessened a little bit. Now to see Color Hex coming, kind of bring him up with him, it's going to be fantastic to watch, and shows that this academy relationship that Overwatch League teams have with the Contenders teams is going to be really important for the coming season. It's going to be super important for the players coming up and coming through. But what does this mean for Australian players? Now, Australian players have had a tough time breaking into the American market, other than the one, the only Custer. But what we do see now is that with this step and the World Cup happening this weekend, and there still being a month after the World Cup to sign new players, Australian talent is going to go through the roof. They're going to break into the Overwatch Contenders scene. You know, I'm still excited to see that. I know Punk has just signed with Sydney Drop Bears, I believe. But to see Punk, a Kraken, and Trill all be able to show themselves on a massive stage for the whole world to see, with all these teams still building their rosters, there's a space for those three especially. Those three are all beasts in their own right. Trill, I've never seen a better Hammond player, a wrecking ball player in a professional scene. Kraken, you are a beast on fucking Ana. Just scariest sleeps I've ever watched. And Punk, as I said during our conversation with Punk in our interview I did, his skill and his understanding of the game is unprecedented, really, when it comes to around the Overwatch Contenders Australia scene, and that will continue to grow in the Overwatch League should he be given a chance. So keep an eye out on the news. Keep an eye out right here on Early Late Nights to see more of the player trades, the pickups, especially from the Australian scene. We'll get you as much as we can on that one going forward. Thank you very much for the Overwatch time. I was almost closing the show, and I'm like, Kieran, there's another segment. Don't close the show yet. You've got some time to talk about Nintendo. Nintendo are fucking Nintendo. They're so good. They're for any onlooker that's not a Nintendo fan or not hardcore in love with Nintendo, it's so great to just watch fans. And so Super Smash Bros. Ultimate had a direct come out all about it in the early hours of this morning, with people being able to get a look at a chance of some more new characters, get a chance to look at the game a bit more revealed. What we had a little while ago, there were some leaks from a poster. It's called the Grinch Incident because there's a Grinch poster in the background. So they're printing the Grinch posters and the Super Smash Bros. Posters at the same time. And from that poster, we could see Shadow from, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog Shadow. We got Banjo-Kazooie. There was Ken. There was Isaac. And there was a couple other characters there. And the internet went into full fucking meltdown because of it. And then the Direct happened. And then Direct went on to reveal that the only fighters remaining to add would be Ken and Incineroar. Incineroar's from Pokemon, and Ken being the, you know, the Echo Fighter for Ryu in the game. And this closed up the overall roster of the game. So the roster is now, the starting roster for Smash Bros. Ultimate is 74 characters. This has been locked in by the company themselves. I'm really interested to see how this plays out, or to see where this goes going forward. We've got different characters coming through now, and that's locked in, and then the internet broke. The internet broke because it let itself get hyped about exactly, you know, it let itself get super hyped about these leaks, about Banjo especially, and, you know, the Waluigi gang is around forever until that character gets added eventually into the game. Probably going to be the last character added before they stop making DLC for it. But Nintendo made it worse. They made it 10 times worse because they proceeded and then they went, now we'll announce the first DLC character of the whole event, the whole game. And that's all, and everybody's like, awesome, let's fucking go. Let's go, Nintendo. Let's take it to them. And next thing you know, Piranha fucking Plant. Piranha Plant is announced for the game. And I guess it's really interesting to look at. I don't know how Piranha Plant fits. He's a Mario character, but I mean, as a fighter, he doesn't have legs. Is he just going to hop around? But we see that as the first DLC character for the game. That's not the greatest. It's not the best DLC character. But the internet is pissed. The internet, or as any, you know, Nintendo Smash Ultimate fans are really not happy with the announcement, with that reveal, because they really wanted to see these beloved characters move up into Smash, as, you know, we've all been a part of, and to see that players are not getting exactly what they want isn't the best thing. And I guess I'm pretty, it's kind of disappointing for us to, you know, it's kind of disappointing for us to see this when it comes to the Smash Ultimate, you know, players not being very grateful, not being fully involved with the scene or with the game, and not being happy with what they're being given. And 74 characters, 80 stages, 900 music tracks, that's bonkers. That's so bonkers. That's such a good starting game. You could have got Street Fighter, where half the game wasn't even in the game when it released. you know, now we have this and you have all this content and you have a story mode that was locked off called Spirit Mode. And now you have everything coming together. And just because a couple characters haven't been added, I am disappointed, but it's okay. The Super Smash Bros. Ultimate is going to be a great starting point for an esports scene. There's going to be so much diversity. There's going to be new characters to tap into and to play. There's going to be a new meta form. Is Bayonetta going to be the broken dumbass character that she has been in the Wii U version? Who knows? But we'll find out. And I really hope this is. The problem with Smash is, it often is, does this play well enough for us to pick up and really champion into an esport? Which is why so many people go back to Melee, and Melee is played constantly, because that is not often seen as, like, the perfection by players. That's Super Smash Bros. Perfection is right there in the game, but I really hope Ultimate, only because the Switch is a fantastic console, the effort used to organize the tournaments would be really interesting to see how it goes with Switches. Are players allowed to use it as a handheld mode? If they prefer handheld, can they use it handheld? Can they use a controller? I'm really excited to see what comes of this and how it evolves and what happens. So, don't worry. Don't be stressed. Don't be frazzled or frustrated or, you know, whatever. Don't be any of that shit. Look forward to this game, because this game's going to be fantastic. I hope it is, and I think from everything we can see, this game's good. Don't worry about the usual Nintendo bullshit where they whinge or they throw random shit in there, or they don't properly show the game, or they give us weird announcements. Don't overhype yourself for the announcements, is the first thing. Don't believe leaks. Some leaks are good, some leaks are really bad, but you know. But hey, we'll see. Now I'm allowed to sign off. This has been your episode of Early Late Nights for this Friday, the 2nd of November, 2018. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I've had some fun casting it and making sure of it. Keep in touch. I don't know if there's going to be an episode on Tuesday. I don't know what I'm doing for Melbourne Cup Day, but I'm sure there'll be an episode come out no matter what. Please keep up to date, keep with the show for next week, because I'm sure there'll be lots of BlizzCon news coming out, especially in regards to StarCraft, Overwatch, Hearthstone. We're going to have lots of information coming from Blizzard. We're going to dive into that. We'll be getting the whole breakdown of the League of Legends finals. We're going to have the whole breakdown of the Overwatch World Cup with the new spectator mode. Remember, Overwatch World Cup, new spectator mode. 5 a.m. opening ceremony, yay. Fuck that noise, but sure. So please join in, keep up with it, keep all things BlizzCon. If you've missed any of the show, you've just joined in, remember, we go live here at 6:30 p.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time every Tuesday and Friday. How long have I been doing this show? I'm 61 episodes in. Every Tuesday and Friday, right here on twitch.tv/Explosion Network. Give us a like. If you want to chuck us your Twitch Prime, give us a subscribe as well. Follow us at Explosion Pod on Twitter, or if you want to follow me and all my rantings, at your boy Ringo on Twitter. Make sure you keep up with everything Facebook. There's a Facebook group as well for Explosion Network. Make sure you've liked the page and keep on going through. Make sure if you can't be here live, you download the podcast at any good pod service, or get the RSS feed from explosionnetwork.com, as well as the VOD that goes up at 24 hours later at 7 p.m. Wednesday and Friday, Saturday on youtube.com/explosionnetwork. I hope you have a good weekend. I hope you enjoy all of the esports that's happening across the weekend. Hope you have a good time. I've been Kieran Marchant. Be a good player. Don't be toxic. Have a good night.